Well, Len Zeem, it's been quite a year, and believe it or not, time flies when you're having fun, and it's time to close it out. So last edition of the Zeem and Spears 2021 series is ready to hit the ball off the first tee, and I'll tell you, it's been an interesting year, and it'll be interesting to see what 2022 brings us.
Interesting is the perfect word to describe the 2021 season. I mean, for the Chicago market, I don't really think we could call it a good year. There was a lot of play on the courses. That's good. But, you know, we didn't have, the events that were being held and stuff like that. There was nothing out of the ordinary within our own Chicago market for golf this year that I can see. Nothing that really pops out. Now, nationwide, of course, that's a different story. I mean, we can get at that. But I'm looking, I am optimistic about 2022. I think we're going to have the pandemic, hopefully slowing down and eventually eradicated. I'm excited about 2022. I think that there will be a more settled down season, and that would carry over nationwide and worldwide. It should be a good year.
It continues to be a good year business-wise for the golf courses here in the Chicagoland area. Len, let's start by recapping 2021 and the how we see it as the top events of the year. And in golf, I look at it this way. The number one event of the year, and I was glad to be there. Both of us were there, was the Ryder Cup and the U.S.'s landslide victory over Team Europe. It was a long time coming, and really glad to see that they finally pulled that off. Number two on my list would be the amazing win by Phil Mickelson as a senior golfer, so to speak. He's eligible for the PGA Champions Tour, that he is over 50, and he still wins a major on the regular tour, so to speak. And with that win, you know, Phil, that was starting to face perhaps limited access to the regular tour, now has got a five-year exemption to all the majors, to the PGA Tour. So I don't think Phil will go away from that tour all too long. Might be a little bit of a setback. Some people thought we'd see him more out on the Champions Tour next year, but he can stall that for another 5 years now. And then finally, John Rahm, only 2 weeks or so after having to, in essence, forfeit out of the Memorial Tournament at Muirfield with a huge lead due to COVID, goes home for a couple of weeks and then comes back and wins the U.S. Open at Torrey Pines in dramatic fashion. A couple of honorable mention notes, I guess, if you want to do a top five. Annika Sorenstam, who hadn't played a lot of competitive golf for years, basically almost walks out of retirement after one PGA, LPGA event to go win the U.S. Senior Women's Open. And then perhaps one other story is the continued growth and participation in Florida golf with rounds up and everything else in 2021. And I kind of look at that as the top three, with a couple of honorable mention stories there when it comes to the big picture in golf.
Yeah, I tell you, there's no question the top story. There's no doubt about the Ryder Cup and the big American victory. To me, it was a total surprise. I know some people were predicting a U.S. win prior to the holding of the Ryder Cup. I thought that was unlikely. But to have a win by record margins like that, I thought it was astonishing and clearly the highlight of the year. The second and third, I think we kind of flip a little bit there. The John Rahm story was very interesting in the context of its place in the season, because he was not a victim necessarily of the COVID thing, but he was very dramatic when he had to be pulled out of the Memorial Tournament and then came right back and won. He had a great year. To me, he is clearly the player of the year. I know that the awards didn't all say that, but very impressed with John Rahm's season. The Mickelson story is interesting, too, in that, you know, it prolongs his role on the PGA Tour, if, in fact, he wants to do that. Now, he was pretty quick to get to take his make his appearances on the Champions Tour, and I thought that was a good thing that he did that. So it'll be interesting to see what he wants to do. I suspect it'll all be reflective of how his game goes when he does make his PGA Tour appearances, how he feels about his game. Maybe he's still a very active PGA Tour player, maybe a little less so. But well, either way, he's the third story in my book. Annika, that's amazing. I mean, she hadn't played tournament golf in 13 years. Makes an appearance on the LPGA Tour on a tournament held at her own club, Lake Nona, here in Florida. She makes the cut. First time out of the box, playing against players who are a lot younger than her, who have been playing very regularly, and then she comes out and wins a senior major among the women's ranks. That's great performance by Annika, and I think on the LPGA front, it's notable that I see a definite shift in the American players from Nelly Korda away from the rest of the players there. She's put herself right up in the ranks of all battling all the Koreans. She's the one that, rather than Lexi Thompson, that is should be the one that battles as the next great American hope. So I think those are all significant events, and it's nothing much more stands out where there's debate between you and me on that, and that's unfortunate, because usually there we could debate a lot of things on stories like that.
You know, obviously the numbers came out as well, and I got to just believe that participation in golf continuing to rise, rounds continuing to rise, and club sales, golf ball sales continuing to rise really is strong measure for the industry in general.
No question about that. That's when we talk about these individual victories by players and their performances, the overall importance of the whole year is how good the industry's doing, and it's doing great. It's and this is nationwide, not just the Chicago area. There's heavy-duty play out, a little tip-off on our own area. We had a lot of work done on clubhouses, way more than previous years there. I'm looking outside my window in a new course has just been built over here in Florida. I mean, it's a positive story. I mean, forgetting about the tournament scene and some of that kind of stuff, which comes and goes year by year, but the industry's doing well, and that's great.
You touched on it, and I think if we looked at what the major stories are in the Chicago area this year, the Western Amateur, I thought, was a good story. It came back to its original site, you know, some 120 years earlier over at the Glenview Club. We had a fantastic group of players there, and some big names, in the shootout down the stretch in the match play, you know. And then John Deere, of course, our yearly PGA Tour stop in the state of Illinois, finally got around to a year late, but thanks to the pandemic, but was finally able to have its 50-year anniversary of the tournament. And I actually just finished reading Magic Happens, the great book on the tournament's history by our friend Craig DeVries, in the last couple days. And it's amazing how many times, even before I covered it, and then during some of the first years that I was there, not necessarily always keeping up with what was happening off the golf course in the terms to keep that tournament alive. Back in the 80s and the early 90s, until things kind of cemented themselves when the agreement came through to get John Deere involved with all the TPC clubs and build the new golf course with D.A. Weibring. And John Deere had a nice event this year. Maybe they didn't get all the fans in that they had hoped for. The Western Amateur was good. But, you know, the big story around here in Chicago is so many clubs reinvesting in their facilities. You and I talked about this a bunch. New clubhouses was just in the Elk Grove one that just opened a couple of weeks ago. It looks great. Obviously, the Preserve at Oak Meadows clubhouse got open mid to late summer. In addition, Northbrook, now known known as Heritage Oaks, got their clubhouse open in the late summer, and they've been kind of tinkering around even after they opened, still putting things in place. And I think that's one of the bigger stories here, because we don't have any big tournaments coming in 22. It's just we're going to start to see the facilities get a full summer out of their new practice ranges, their new clubhouses, some of the course improvements, and a lot of things that were getting built in 21 are finally going to be fully open in 22.
Yeah, I was fascinated by one development by the Golf Bodies of Illinois. The Illinois PGA did an interesting thing here. They scrapped their efforts to have a two-site final in the Illinois Open. Instead, going back to a 156-player, 54-hole final, and they had a very good final tournament this year at Stonebridge. It was great to see Stonebridge back on the tournament scene, and I think we're going to see Stonebridge out there some more. And we're having big things being done at White Eagle, which will get the tournament again as well. So this year, so I think that a little change in policy. I never thought that the attempt to expand the Illinois Open just by making 312 players eligible for the final was necessarily going to do that long term, and it didn't. I think it's better to go back to the way things were. I think it'll be cleaner, easier to cover the final, easier for spectators to appreciate what's going on there rather than to bounce back and forth for two sites. That was a significant thing in my book, the decisions of the Illinois PGA to also announce that they're going to take a direct role in the operation of the Illinois Women's Open, which, you know, really I felt should have been done years ago. So these are behind-the-scenes things, but they have long-term effect on what we see in golf's big events in Illinois.
It'll be interesting to see how some of these events that we do have in 2022 play out. The Western Golf Association does not have the BMW Championship in town. It'll be out in Delaware. But their Evans Scholars event that is on the Korn Ferry Tour and also has a brand new sponsor and a bigger purse to be played for will be back at the Glen Club. The Western Amateur will be over at Exmoor. The Western Junior will be at Naperville Country Club. And then on the women's side, we have Sunset Ridge hosting the Women's Western Amateur and Prestwick Country Club down in the south suburbs hosting the Women's Western Junior Golf Championship back at a place where Nancy Lopez won the Women's Western Junior 50 years ago. So there will be some tournament golf that'll be exciting to watch. Of course, the Illinois Women's Open back at Mistwood, the state amateur over to Westmoreland. There'll be golf tournaments if you want to see them. It'll just have a little different feel because the Chicagoland area will not have the PGA Tour, the Champions Tour, the LPGA Tour, the Symetra Tour, nothing from the PGA of America, and nothing outside of some one-day qualifiers by the USGA.
That sure is a change. It's been lingering that way for a long time, and now it's really, well, the way you put it like that, how many of the tours and the pro tours are not coming here in this next year. It's sad. It's unfortunate, and I hope that's something that changes in a hurry after 2022. Even it's a shame that Chicago used to have at least showings by most all the tours at one time or another over a 5-year span. Certainly not the case anymore, and it's a situation that all should work to correct.
It'll even be different on some of our surrounding states. You know, there's been a lot of tournaments up in Wisconsin, and they'll still have the Steve Stricker AmFam event in Madison. But, you know, after Ryder Cup and some U.S. Opens in recent years, it'll be a little quieter in Wisconsin. Of course, the U.S. Men's, the Senior Open, will be back there at Century World in 23. Indiana, you know, we've seen the Senior LPGA Champion move on. The Big Ten Championship will be back at French Lick, and also they'll have one of the top Symetra Tour events also at the French Lick Resort coming up this summer. But, you know, Southern Indiana is going to be the place to be for golf in the state of Indiana. And I don't know of too much other than the Senior PGA Championship at Harbor Shores, which finally returns. It was canceled, you know, the last time a couple of years ago. And so anyway, we will have to see what happens, you know, even in Michigan. So things are a little quiet even for our surrounding states in terms of big-time golf.
Boy, that's for sure. And as I say, on a positive, trying to get a positive note here, we do have a new new Illinois player on the PGA Tour. Nick Hardy earned his PGA Tour card and made the cut in three of his first four starts. No surprise to me that Nick was going to be a PGA Tour player, but he came on and has made quite a good showing right off the bat. Much like Doug Gim, the year before that, he played a full season now. He got better as the year went along. It's good to have some PGA Chicago players on the PGA Tour. GK Kelly lingers, and Bryce Emery linger as possible threats on the Korn Ferry Tour. So I think we're going to have, that's a good way to look at it. We do have some good young talent coming through the Chicago ranks that are now making some noise on the big tours. That could be a big story come 2022.
You know, 2022 will be an interesting season, and as I alluded to a little earlier, I'm really looking forward to, in the Chicagoland area, you know, some of our golf courses having full facilities open, or Settlers Hill that, you know, shut down in late 2020, finally reopening for golf. You know, you and I have toured Greg Martin's handiwork out there, and boy, it's really something. And I think Chicagoland golfers are just going to love that golf course when it opens. And as you and I have talked about in the past, we don't often see elevation change like that in the Chicago area. And it's going to be something a little different than what we normally see around here.
Well, I'm very excited about Settlers Hill, absolutely. And, you know, looking a little further down the road, big announcement made just, we touched on this very heavily right after it was made in our podcast, our last Zeman Spirits podcast, but Medina Country Club's announcement that it's going to have a big major renovation of its famous number three course. That's going to be a big story. Now, right now, what work won't even be done, begin there until the fall. You know, it's going to shut the course down for the following year and getting it ready for the 2026 President's Cup. But that's probably Chicago's most famous golf course. Could argue that, I guess. But to have that course undergo a major renovation, that's a big story. It's something that more for conversation down the road, still a very significant development in golf in Chicago.
Well, you're absolutely correct. And, you know, I said this a few times already, it might be the most significant renovation we've seen in recent years and in the next couple of years to come, because it's the type of renovation that could bring some major events back to Chicago. Might it open the door for the Ryder Cup in whatever the next available year is, you know, something like 2038 or 42 or 41 or something like that? Might the U.S. Open resurface here after almost a 30-year absence, if it shows up 31, 32, when those open years are available. I think the USGA would be really smart to see how that course plays when the President's Cup is there in 26, and they're following winter meetings a few months later. Maybe the 31 or 32 U.S. Open plays out after they get the feedback of the 24 players and captains that'll be part of the President's Cup on that new layout at Medina in 2026.
It's an interesting thing. If we're focusing on Medina once again to kind of carry the ball on bringing big events to Chicago, and I'd like to see other places step up and take an LPGA event. I was very impressed with the work done at Stonebridge, which had been off the tour calendars for probably two decades there. I'm looking, that's a place where we're a bigger event, maybe not a U.S. Open or anything like that, but it could come there. You know, where are we going to see Olympia Fields has done its part, but that where are we going to see a Pro Tour event come next? The finger always seems to get pointed at Medina in situations like this, and And I think we got some other courses that if they wanted to campaign for it, they could bring back the big events to Chicago. Jerry Rich, I think, is going to have something at Rich Harvest Farms in the not too distant future. Maybe that'll be something.
Well, I'm well aware that Jerry Rich has, as they say, extended the olive branch back to the LPGA. Now that Michael Wan has moved on, they're trying to get reestablished with the new LPGA commissioner and look into the possibility of hosting perhaps another Solheim Cup or another important LPGA event back at Rich Harvest Farms. And I think that would be great to see if something like that were to come together in the next couple of years. You know, 2023, I think we're going to have a nice little run, but it doesn't really start here until 23. You know, 23, the BMW will be back in town at Olympia Fields. You know, there'll be a U.S. Senior Open in Wisconsin. There'll be a BMW here likely in 25, the President's Cup 26 at Medina, BMW probably in 27 back in town. So I think, you know, there'll be a nice run of bigger tournaments here, but it doesn't really start in 22. I think it starts more in 23.
Yep, I'm afraid we're going to be playing the waiting game for the next few months, but you know, a lot of things can change in a hurry. I think the calendar is one thing we'll have to be putting our eye on more closely in 2022 for the future years than we have in the past, because we can't just assume there'll be some good things coming in. But I want to remain optimistic on that. I think Chicago's got courses that could take on bigger events than and put us back on the calendar again. I think Chicago belongs there.
Well, it sure does. And Len, one of the things that I wanted to talk about, and I know right now we have some COVID issues out there. It's been growing and spiking the last couple of weeks. The current strain seems easier to catch, but it seems easier to get over. And, you know, it will play a role in events coming up. But after a year of cancellations, I'm looking forward to the PGA Merchandise Show in its new style format at the end of January. And then as of now, yes, we have the return of the Chicago Golf Show at the end of February. And both of these shows are going to work through whatever restrictions are necessary at the time, meaning, you know, even if all the showgoers have to wear masks or whatever it is, or prove that they've had a vaccination, they're going to be back up and running. And I think that's not only important for Chicago, it's important nationally to see these shows happening. I gave a lot of credit to the Consumer Electronics Show, one of the biggest conventions in America. And it's going to take place this week in Las Vegas, and they refuse to back down. They refuse to cancel, and good for them.
Well, of course, you hate to see any show not held. Of course, in golf, I think it's great that there'll be a PGA Merchandise Show. I'm certainly not expecting it to be anywhere near what the previous shows have been. Those have been huge shows, 40,000 people, all the major equipment companies. It's a positive that they're going to put the show back on. And of course, with the Chicago Golf Show, that's been such a fixture there. It's a kind of a, both of those shows, kind of a trigger to the start of the golf season, both nationally for the show in Orlando and locally for when the Chicago Show comes to Rosemont. So that's both are positive developments that they're scheduled to be held and will be held. You know, we still have to be cautious about the pandemic and the danger that lingers out there. I'm sure that proper protocols will be taken by both groups, and it'll bring some big news to golf, both in nationally and locally.
As we wrap it up for the year 2021, we'd like to thank our sponsors. And, you know, that has been Mistwood Golf Club, Mistwood Golf, open year-round at the golf course in Romeoville in the summer, and the Mistwood Golf Dome all winter long over on Route 53 in Bolingbrook. Also, want to thank the Schaumburg Golf Club that has been with us all year, and Zeman Spears, both part of Golfers on Golf Radio, the award-winning Golfers on Golf Radio this year, which was a pretty special treat. I'll have more to say on that on golfersongolf.com, but But was Leonard, was good to add you to our Chicago's favorite foursome group and be a more regular part of the radio show. And we'll look forward to having you still with us in 2022 on the radio side.
Yep, that has been fun. It's been a great experience to join the broadcast side, and my background being all print for so many years, it's nice to do something different, and it's been a lot of fun.
For Zeem and Spears Podcast Series 2021, we sign off and wish everyone and all of our listeners a happy new year. Len and I are going to take a break for a couple of weeks, and somewhere back around the 17th, 18th of January, in advance of the merchandise show, we'll be back to talk about how the year 2022 has started. Have a great new year, everyone.